Keith Henschke from Hentley Farm. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Going well, thank you. How's the Barossa this morning? You basked in sunshine, or what's going on?
Beautiful one day, perfect the next. I tell you what, the living weather is just unbelievable. That beautiful, clear skies. Yeah, it's a bit crisp this morning. I wouldn't wander around in shorts and thongs for too long. It's just that idyllic autumn weather that we get down here.
Yeah, it's a pretty time in the vineyard, isn't it? When the leaves are changing colour and
yeah, absolutely love it. And they start thinking about falling off. And often, typically, we've had some rain by now, and you'll see the green grass poke up. But this year, it's been pretty dry, and we're not seeing that. So it's a different landscape than we've seen for a while. That sort of, the brown, the red-brown dirt starting to, or still shows, and with those autumn leaves still falling off.
Yeah. Keith, is there rain on the horizon, or what are we looking
at? Well, I've been told, if you have a look at the short-term seven-day forecast, it, once again, perfect living weather. There's no rain on the near term. We've been told that if you look at the Bureau of Meteorology, longer term forecasts, that there is a reasonable amount of rain expected, particularly that they're suggesting it's going to be a wet spring. I hope they're right, but I wouldn't mind getting a start soon. If you're a broadacre farmer, you'd be somewhat annoyed and aggravated. We don't normally get too concerned for another month or so. If it doesn't start raining sometime in June, we'll have to start turning on the irrigation around about then. So we've still got another sort of month up our sleeve before we start worrying.
Yeah, because it's an interesting thing to think about when you're not a farmer or a vineyard owner, I guess. But that free rain is so important on a number of angles. Obviously, it's not costing you money, but to run pumps and all that sort of thing. But if it starts early enough, you get that depth of soil wetness, for want of a better word, don't you? If you can bank that in spring, as you're saying, it sets you up for a great season.
Yeah, no, it's quite amazing. The vines, the plants, to some extent, you look at them, they almost behave like human beings. They're very reactive to the environment. So if they don't have wet roots, they change their hormonal system and they'll start fundamentally behaving as if it's going to be a dry growing period. And so they'll start doing things like already reducing their yield potential. And so it's really critical to have the roots wet during winter. And so if you don't get the natural rainfall, you need to put in there yourself. Unfortunately, with our drip irrigation system, which is tremendously efficient in terms of use of water, we just can't replace natural rainfall. So we can help, but we just can't replace it. So we really need it to falling out of the sky.
Mm. It's yes, and as you say, the broadacre farmers, they have no option really. They can't really irrigate all of that, can they? So
not at all.
Huey's help. Keith, you guys are doing some amazing things. So Jimmy Watson for your Grenache, well done.
Thank you.
That was
just a small little award there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's 6 months ago that you found out about that. But how's it been? Have you seen, much of a movement of the dial from people coming in because of that?
I think that, we're still reveling in the success of winning that award. And it really, particularly, I think, for some of us who are a little bit older, and I now fall into that category, that Jimmy Watson was just on the bucket list to win. Never ever thought you'd win one. It was a dream. So because it's heritage, obviously, going back, 60-odd years. We've got it in our cellar door on pride of place. And for some of our lucky customers, we'll roll it out and fill it up with Jimmy Watson award-winning Grenache, and we'll pour it out of it, which is really fun, right? So that's so we're still excited by that. What's happened? So I think typically speaking, I think our customers probably most of them probably got to be over 40 odd to probably really appreciate, understand the Jimmy Watson. So it's sort of those people have been following fine wine for a decent period of time and get it, and they get it. Yeah, you know, they come in and they'll identify the trophy and we'll have a good chat about it. So yes, we've had some uplift. I think it's been we love Grenache. And it's just been helpful for us to just have deeper conversations about how great that variety is. And interestingly enough, we've been talking about and had in the winter a Grenache that actually is going to be in the next level above the old legend, the one that Jimmy Watson. And so that gives us full confidence to release that. And that's coming out in another couple of months' time. So we're looking forward to that. But Jenny, speaking that the people and our customers are rolling through, we're getting a good number. Obviously, the South Australian landscape been pretty damn busy over here with Live and Gather Round, and now that really has changed the dial for our
visitation. It is just an extraordinary start to the year, isn't it, for you guys? Yeah. Like, because it even goes all the way back to Fringe.
Fringe, yeah.
And then you've got, is the car race been yet, the Clipsal?
No, it's later in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not a car guy, so I'm not sure about that. But yeah.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, that AFL focus is a huge boon for everything, I'm sure. And then you've got Tasting Australia on at the moment.
Yeah, that's correct. I did an event with them on Friday night at the Hilton, so that's rolling in the gear. No, there's a lot on it. It has been flat out. And what we see in the Barossa is the gather round. And we're an hour away from the city, and I think that a lot of people come a bit earlier and or they see a hole in the schedule and they duck up to the Barossa or go down to McLaren Bay or wherever. But certainly as wineries, we saw that. We probably had doubled the visitors over a five or six day period.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. The restaurant was bursting, it seems. So, and we had the same with the Live Golf. April was a great visitation month for us, and once again the weather was just magnificent. So, we're going pretty well on that front.
So, so tell us about this restaurant that everyone came in for, because the Real Review were fairly positive about it, putting you in the top 10 restaurants in Australia. These are wine region restaurants, yeah.
Oh, well, I might, go on a slightly different tangent. The Rural View actually put the winery in the top 10 highest quality wineries in Australia. We've been teetering around, so there's an award losing that had us in the top 10 best restaurants in Australia as well, but I'm not sure where that got to in the end. I'll come back to the review in a minute, but the restaurant, for those who haven't been, we've enjoyed a lot of success since we opened in 2012, actually, it's getting on a bit, and it's a real destination style of restaurant, probably a bit similar to people in Victoria going to Bray, where you've got to go out in the bush and so you've got to go out of your way, and we entertain our diners through a discovery menu, so you discover the flavours of the Barossa and South Australia in particular, and it's lots of those small dishes that come through, and I've got a magnificent team who are friendly, attentive and chatty, and they'll ensure that the experience is more than the food, and of course matched with our wines, and we've got our short menu, which goes for about 2 hours. And then we have our longer menus, which you really, if you don't allow 3.5 to 4 hours, you're going to be cut short. So you want to put a line through the afternoon and
sounds fun.
Enjoy the experience. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. Is it hard to get in, given, the awards and all the people talking about it? Is it difficult to book, or you just need to plan a little bit?
Yeah, it's unfortunately not designed for people like me. who, about 5 p.m. on a, 5 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, got, oh, we should go somewhere nice for dinner. Unfortunately, that doesn't, it doesn't work. It's typically, it's really hard to get in on a Saturday and a weekend in particular. You really want to be at least 3 weeks out, sometimes six, sometimes eight, sometimes 10, particularly as we get lead up to Christmas. So you do, unfortunately, want to be planned if you want to get it, want to get the weekend. Sometimes Thursday's probably got more chance of getting, so you might be able to leave it to the last minute. I wouldn't rely on that. It's best if you can to go out a few weeks.
Yeah,
I'm just fascinated. So, Keith, you've been with Hentley Farm or established Hentley Farm 27 years ago. Is that right?
I'll just do the maths on that.
So 1997.
Yeah, that would. You're making me feel old.
Oh no, that's not the intention. I'm always fascinated by, you know, people who establish restaurants after, you know, feel like they need to provide food and, you know, that added reason for being, and also getting people to, you know, see wine in the right light, you know, with food. And is it? You guys have quite a large kitchen garden, is that right? Or am I
incorrect? Yeah, modest. And we've certainly got a foraging mentality, and the mentality of being very local. And so I think that's been part of it. We think that the experience is enhanced. If you go, you've travelled across the world, we get a lot of people who will come. We got some people who will come from overseas and just to dine, and then they'll get on a plane and go home again, which I've found. A little bit crazy, but the view is, you know, you come to the Barossa, you come to Hemming Farm, and you get a dining and experience, including our wines, which you can't get anywhere else. That's really what we want. It's like, no, you, and of course, you can't get anyone else's wine fundamentally at our restaurant. We think that's important, and it's very local. So just that really on-site experience that we're hoping that people walk away and go, wow. I just can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah, and that's that. You want them to leave with those memories and that connection with Hentley Farm. And I think, you know, the fact even in your name, it talks to what you do and
the foraging
growers and
the kind of,
producers. Growing, yeah.
It's worked particularly well. We didn't open this. Well, we haven't gone that long. We really only started selling wines in about 2004. After we went through that journey, because, you know, I went down the path, or we went down with the wife down a planted vineyard story rather than going virtual. We could have otherwise had wines up and about, you know, by 1999, but we chose to plant vines and wait for them to have grapes and that whole cycle. So we were patient for the first 7 years. About 2004 we started selling, and what we found, and we sold to the trade, to restaurants and retailers, and that was okay. But we decided to put a cellar door in 2000 and the start of 2009. And in this old cottage, you know, this old building that had fallen down. And in fact, it would be a beautiful old building, dated back to the 1840s within a couple of years of South Australian settlement by Europeans. And it's got so much charm. And we found that the consumers, customers were coming in and they were really engaging heavily with us. And within a year or two, he said, well, this is working well. How could we give our customers an even better experience and have them immersed in an environment where they could really go more slowly at our wines and then enjoy them and enjoy different variation and mash them with food so they see how that went? So that's why we set about the restaurant. It was really a customer focus. And I suspect we wanted to be upper end. Our wines, we're at the upper end of the spectrum, so we thought we'd better put in a more of a fine dining restaurant. Well, what we discovered is that's a little bit more difficult than it sounds. In fact, it was a real journey for me, having had no experience in the restaurant game. But we hired a great chef. He was a good guy, a young fellow by the name of Lachlan Cole, and he was in his 20s and he was brilliant. And I assumed we were going to have three chefs to run this restaurant. And Bill Lachlan said to me, oh, we need six to start with. And they need to start 6 months before we open. So that was a pretty interesting learning experience for me and us to go through. But we got there and it's been it's been a real success.
Well done.
Well done, absolutely. And it's, you know, we talk about, you know, you can't just book it, you know, tonight for tonight or today for tonight, but it can be your anchor point for your trip to Barossa or even to South Australia, right? A bit like Bray. You plan your weekend and you get a booking and it's in 8 weeks' time and you go, great, let's work up and get excited and really embrace it. It's not just any lunch or dinner, right? It's actually, well, lunch really is the main thing you do. So, but it's not just any lunch. This is an event.
Mm. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a holistic experience and I get a bit intrigued sometimes, and food writers will write about, you know, the food. Well, when you come to Henley Farm, it's the whole experience. It's from when you step foot out of your door, when you see the beautiful grounds, when you see the beautiful environment, when you're greeted by a team, when you ask that down and you start having our wines and so forth. That's a whole heap of stuff happens well before, and then the beauty of inside these beautiful buildings. So the restaurant's actually in another old building as well, which we've renovated, and it's just got so much texture and this sort of feeling of calmness about it that is experienced by itself. Yes, but it's a whole journey, and exactly what you said, Simon. We do suggest that this is the first thing you do before you plan your trip to the Barossa. You get your booking, because that then you can build around it. And then that's what a lot of people do. They do that even before they book accommodation. You've got to get your restaurant booking and then map around. And what we suggest now is our tasting in our cellar door is quite significant too. So we have a range of different tastings, but you really sometimes want to allow up to 2 hours to do a wine tasting at our top tasting we do, where we go through back vineyards and so forth. And so we suggest to people, no, come a day before or come a day after and do that as well. But you don't want to do that on one day, because it's a fair bit. So,
I'm liking
it. Yeah, it's a whole weekend. Yeah, absolutely. You're dominating.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And I'm thinking it makes sense to maybe do your tasting beforehand, Sam.
Yeah.
Because then you get shown the wines that match the food later on the next day. Mm. And it's all, oh, yeah, didn't we love that yesterday?
Yeah. Exactly. And just, yeah, experience different wines, especially back vintages. I think, yeah, I don't know, we don't get to taste or drink enough older wines and to see how things develop. And especially, you know, you've got that history there with the vineyard. So can I bring the conversation back to Grenache, because I'm fascinated by this variety. So how old are all the wines estate grown?
All the wines, certainly at our luxury level, are all estate grown. We do have a grower series,
yep,
which is a bit more efficient on pricing, but all of our top end, so our, you know, Old Legend Grenache, for example. So excuse me. So wind the clock back. Let's go back to pre-97, when my wife and I, Ellie and I, were on a quest to find what we were hoped to be the Barossa's best terroir. I asked a lot of questions of my winemaking friends, and I know you mentioned Rosewood Ecology, and I did go to Rosewood. I had a lot of friends coming out of there, and I asked the question, you know, where in the Barossa Valley are the highest quality red grapes grown to make the best red wine? And that steered me, there was almost consensus to go, now head to the northwest section of the Barossa Valley around Sepherd's Field. You've got this beautiful red brown earth over limestone. And so that's what I did. I got a soil map and pinpointed this property, and we were about a kilometre away from Sepherd's Field. Well, those people who've been to Sepherd's Field know that area, know that Sepherd's Field have got these wonderful old Grenache vines, these planted around their winery, which are well over 100 years old. So it really is, it's historically a wonderful Grenache area that we have, that part of Sepherd's Field, and they do particularly well. And I think you touched on, what about the age of the vines? And my favourite talking point is, if you think the vine age is the most important thing in our warmer climate of the Barossa Valley, we'll get that idea and throw it out the window. Mm. I say that because, you know, you're talking about Winery Henley Farm, which is an estate-driven winery, and, you know, one winery of the year in 2015, Jimmy Watson came off that exact property, you know, the Riverview's put us in top 10 wineries in Australia, and a whole blast of awards to say these wines aren't that old. You know, sure, they're starting to get a bit of age on them now, and so planted in 1999. So, yeah, they're starting to head towards that 25 years of age. And what I do find is I really do feel that the vine age is having such a minimal impact on Shiraz and Cabernet. We've been able to make amazing quality Grenache through the journey since day one. But I have to say that I do think that some of the older Grenache vines are just going to another level again. So I have to, when I say it doesn't make any difference, well, I think with Grenache it does make a little bit of difference. And I mentioned before, we're releasing a wine above our old legend, and that's really from a block which is just starting to show just next level flavours when it's, you know, nearing that 25 years of age. So yeah, I find that whole, you know, how all that works, I don't know, but it is really intriguing.
That is. It's amazing. We've had a question. We've got a text line here, and just remind all our listeners, 0456-965-965. So Christopher is one of our regular contributors. He's coming to visit you guys, actually, on the 16th to the 20th of May. So what's that? In about 2 weeks-ish. So firstly, his question was, can he just turn up, or like Keith would? Or does he have to book ahead of time?
No, the highly recommended both either the restaurant or the tasting experience. You book ahead, and it is particularly on the weekends. Unfortunately, because we have to say it's an elevated experience. It's not a normal, the old school cellar door tasting experience where you come up to the bar and there's a long bar and there might be 20 couples. It's not that. But this is a seated experience, and it's very detailed and so forth. And so we allocate a very high level of staffing. So I think sometimes we might only allocate a team member for 10 people during the day. You know, if I highly recommend booking. Otherwise, there's a real chance, particularly on the weekends, that Christopher would miss out, and we wouldn't want that.
Well, Christopher, you're there from Thursday through to Sunday, so get your cellar door booked and get your restaurant booked if you're going to do that. So, so the second part of the question was the creation was a Grenache in 21, and the question is, will we see a Shiraz for the 22 creation?
So Christopher is obviously very knowledgeable about our winery. And he knows the detail. I mean, I just might digress on the creation project. Wonderful project. Simon said, I'm not sure you're aware of what we do. So wind the clock back about 2007. We saw some interesting parcels of wine come out of the 2007 vintage that didn't have a home. And I was talking with our great winemaker, Andrew Quinn, our chief winemaker. He's still there. He's a fabulous one. And we thought, hang on, we've got these little wonderful parcels of wine. What do we do with them? And we talked to us all. I said, hey, why don't you, and it's your call, why don't you make a different wine each year? It's your creation, right? It's your creation, Andrew. I'm not going to get involved. It was a little bit difficult at the time and still is. But you just make, let's have two rules. One rule is it has to come from our Secretsfield estate. And the other rule has to be really good. But apart from that, you go and make what you want. And we've just had some terrific wines spun out of that project. So, you know, 2010, Andrew made a Shiraz Cabernet and from one of the blocks where we got Shiraz and Cabernet planted next to each other. And it happens to be from block called H Block. Anyway, we sent it away to wine writer, I think one of the mixed stock, and he sends us a trophy pack and says, no, you made the best Shiraz Cabernet in Australia.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. And anyway, this project just keeps going, and it's just, after a period of time, we then said, well, let's make it an artistic project too. So we went to the Adelaide Central School of Art and get the artists to tend to do the packaging. And packaging, I say that not just the label, and because they come up with some really great stuff, neck laces made out of titanium and silver. And last year, someone made out of the 21 vintage where this Grenache Chris was talking about came from. We made a clay amphora that you know, Greek style to go with the bottles and so forth. So this wonderful art gets all mixed with it. So anyway, so this journey of the different wine comes on. So and part of it is because I don't really get that much involved, and it's not until Andrew really, Queen the Wine, declares, no, this is the wine we're doing. I don't really know, but I think I've had a sneaky suspicion we're back on the Shiraz train. So historically we've made Shiraz or Shiraz blend. Most of the time we've done one Cabernet and we've done one straight Grenache, so I suspect we're back to Shiraz.
Mm. There we go.
Well done, Christopher.
I think you'll have to check it in a couple of weeks when you're over there, Christopher, and then I'm sure, are all feeling Hentley Farms on the list, and how quick can we get over there. Keith, it's unreal. The story is we could talk for the next hour and there'd still be stuff that's brand new, right? So best we just come over and check it out in person, right?
Absolutely. We'd love to see you, and that would be delighted to host you. So hopefully you can find your way there. It's pretty easy. Just got to jump on that plane, and an hour's drive, you're up at our place.
And it's beautiful. It's just such an easy drive out of Adelaide these days, isn't it? It was really quite disrupted for a period of time, but it's fantastic now. It's a commutable thing from Adelaide.
Oh, absolutely. And for speed, you take the Northern Expressway, you said the easy hour out to the airport, out from the city, sometimes less. Or you can take the scenic view and go up through the Adelaide Hills and take 2 hours. So if you've got a bit more time, we recommend that as well.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, so a couple of things then for everyone to know. Hentley Farm, hentleyfarm.com.au. That's your bookings for restaurant and for Salador. Keith, we'll keep our ear open, or ears open for new news. And we've got to get to have a look at what the 22 creation is made from. So that'll be interesting. Mate, thank you for getting up on a Sunday morning for us, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon over in Barossa.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, same. Thanks, Keith.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye now.
See you. Bye-bye.